Nothing. I just had the oddest feeling of deja vu, is all. As if I'd heard all this before.
23, July 1349, the Feast of St. Margaret of Antioch. Joachim was tolling the Angelus bell when Dietrich left Nicol Langermann's hut, where he had lanced malignant pustules on Trude Metzger's arms and on the back of little Peter's hand. The pustules worried him. The wool sorter's disease was often fatal. Lost in such thoughts, he blundered into a press of chattering villagers returning from their fields.
"Come to visit your daughter, old man," he heard people call. "Ah, Klaus, Klaus, here comes your father-in-law. That is a hard path for a frail old man. Are you well?"
And there stood Odo Schweinfurt from Niederhochwald, blinking dully in the setting sun. The old man searched up and down the high street, saw the mill, and set off in that direction.
"No, the miller's cottage is over there," someone called out,
and Odo turned uncertainly. The commotion drew Hilda from her cottage.
"My father is here?" Hilda asked.
Then, with delight more feigned than fair, she cried,
"Daddy!"
But he stank of the pigs he tended, and she came no closer than her nose allowed. Klaus stood behind her, still in his white powdered apron from the mill, and regarded the old gartner narrowly. He had not his wife's disdain for the man's calling, but his nose was no less gentle for that.
"What do you want, Odo?"
he asked, for he misdoubted any came to his door without some want.
"Dead," said the old man.
"Bread? Does Karl not feed you, such an ungrateful son?"
He laughed, for Hilda's brother was well known as a pinchfenning.
"No," said Hilda, wiping her hands on her coverslet. "He said, dead. Who is dead, Daddy?"
"Oh, Karl, Alicia, Gretel, everyone."
He stared around at the press of villagers as if searching, searching.
Hilda's hand flew to her mouth. "His whole family?"
Odo sank to his wasted haunches in the dirt of the high street.
"I have not slept for 3 days, nor eaten since yestermorn."
Dietrich stepped forward. "What happened?" he demanded.
"Dear God," he prayed, "let it be the moraine."
"The blue sickness,"
Odo said, and those who stood close by groaned.
"Everyone in the lower wood is dead. Father Conrad, Emma Bauer, young Bachmann, all of them. Ah, God is cruel to kill my son and my grandchildren before my eyes and spare me after."
He turned his face to the sky and shook both fists.
"I curse God! I curse the God that did this!"
Dietrich heard the word run through the crowd like a flight of arrows whisking through the air.
"The pest! The pest!"
Folk began to edge away. Even Klaus stepped back, but Hilda Müller, with a countenance white as the clouds, took her villain father by the hand and led him toward her home.
"He will be the death of us," Klaus warned her.
"It is my penance," she said with a toss of her head.
"It's a hard path up from the lower valley,"
Hervig One Eye told anyone who would listen.
"Bad air, cannot climb it."
But none answered him, and each fled in silence to his own place. In the morning, Heloise Krenkerin flew over the lower wood and reported a pair of women living under a lean-to on the far end of the fields there. They had a small campfire and ran into the woods on catching sight of Heloise. A third must have been hiding there as well, for someone loosed a bolt when she swooped down for a closer look. At best, no more than a handful lived, unless others had fled to St. Peter or Bear Valley. The hare heard this report in his high seat and fingered an old scar on the back of his right hand. Dietrich studied the counselors who sat along the black oak table in the manor hall, Eugen, pale and wide-eyed, on his right, Thierry, who had ridden from Hinterwaldkopf on another matter and who sat now grim-visaged by his liege's left, Everard, cheeks flushed and eyes dully glazed, Klaus, anxious and unable to hold himself still, Rikard, his law books useless in this matter, casting his attention here and there as others spoke. Dietrich and Father Rudolph represented the ghostly arm, and Hans spoke for the 8th Krenken.
"Wiped out," Manfred said at last. "Half my living gone, and we heard naught until now."
Everard spoke low, though not so low as to go unheard.
When a man's family dies, your living seems less weighty.
A rebuke from one so obsequious as Everard drew startled glances. The steward gave off a sharp, pungent odor that Dietrich could not name. Drunk, Dietrich decided, from the reddened cheeks, the slurred voice, the glazed look.
Eloise saw a body on the trail, Max continued his report. Perhaps they sent a man to notify you, but he died on the way.
As well he did not succeed, said Thierry, whose fists were stones on the table.
Praying mine, here's grace, Klaus said, but my wife's father says it was no more than 3 days from the first death to his flight.
Manfred frowned.
I have not forgotten, Mare, that you broke my curfew. My wife bid him welcome, he straightened. Would you turn away your own father?
Manfred leaned forward over the table and spoke in measured tones. In an eye blink.
But he was amongst us before anyone knew he had come.
Beside which, the Schultheis said, glad for something covered by law and custom, those of each village have the right to visit the other.
Manfred gave his lawman an astonished look. There stands a time for rights, he said, and a time for what is needful. I gave orders that no one might enter this village.
Rikard was scandalized. Klaus, genuinely puzzled.
But this was only Odo.
Manfred rubbed his face.
No one, Meyer. He may have brought with him the pest.
Mein Herr, said Hans, I am no scholar of these things, but the speed of the pest argues that the small lives quickly devour their, we would say, host, though the guest is unwelcomed. These small lives act so quickly that did Odo carry them, he must show already the signs, and he does not.
Manfred grunted, and his bearing was yet skeptical.
Everard giggled, and spoke to Klaus. You're a fool, Miller, and your wife rides you, and anyone else she can mount.
Klaus darkened and rose from his seat, but Eugen raised a hand.
Not at mein Herr's table.
Manfred, for his part, snapped.
Steward, remove yourself.
When the man did not move, he cried, Now! And Thierry rose with a hand on his sword hilt. But Father Rudolf spoke in a querulous voice.
No, no, this will not do. This will not do. We mustn't fight one another. We are not the enemy.
And he took Everard by the elbow and helped him to his feet.
Everard squinted at the assembly as if only now seeing them. Rudolf guided him toward the door, and he staggered out, blundering first into the doorpost.
Max closed the door behind him.
He stinks, the sergeant said.
He is afraid, Dietrich answered, and drunk because he is afraid.
Manfred's eye was hard. I will brook no excuses. Max?
There were fresh graves in the churchyard down there, the sergeant continued, but also bodies lying about in the green, in the fields, one man dead even at the plow.
Unburied, you say? Dietrich cried. Had it come upon them that suddenly?
A finger jutted from Manfred's fist. No, Pastor, you will not go down there.
To bury the dead is one of the commands that the Lord fastened upon us. A great ball of ice had formed within Dietrich as he thought about what awaited there.
If you go down the mountain, Manfred told him, I cannot permit your return. The living here need your care.
Dietrich formed an objection, but Hans interrupted.
It will by us go easier.
Then you too must be barred from returning, Manfred said to the crank.
Hans worked his lips in a brief crankish smile.
Mein Herr, my companions and I are forever barred from returning. What is one lesser exile within a greater? But the small lives that devour your folk would likely not attack mine. The... how do you say it when kinds change?
Evolution, suggested Dietrich. An unfolding of potential into actual, an outrolling toward an end.
No, that is not the right term. But what it means, mein Herr, is that your small lives know not our bodies, and would lack the key to enter our flesh.
Manfred pursed his lips.
Very well, then. Hans, you may bury the dead at Night of Hopewald. Take only Krenken with you. When you return, wait at your former lazaretto in the woods for signs of the pest. If no signs appear in... He cast about for some interval that might provide protection. In 3 days' time, you may return to the village. Meanwhile, no one may enter this manor.
And what of my wife's father? Klaus insisted.
He must go. It sounds harsh, Miller, but it must be. We must look to ourselves.